visits Yemen. What an inviting piece of real estate it has become, sadly. So we've invested resources there, at least from the spook department. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, that's where we start here on America Tonight. This is pretty much what it sounded like earlier in the day. Here in the United States, a suicide bomber killing 100 in Yemen, and it was attack at a military parade that killed those people because they were sitting ducks or moving targets anyway. And what happened afterwards is that supposedly the reason why Al-Qaeda and affiliate is saying that they're claiming the reason they did it was because they were going up against the U.S. government for what the U.S. has done in the region and in Afghanistan. So the U.S., which we are, is trying to help the new Yemeni government in counterinsurgency efforts. And this is a rough group, an Al-Qaeda-affiliated group that's in the south part of the country. Somebody jimmy-rigged with a bomb. It was a suicide bomber. And the suicide bomber just struck at the right moment in the middle of this Yemeni military parade that killed all those people, even while we've got this increasing cooperation between Yemen and our governments and the stepping up to help the military and to go after some of these terrorist cells with drone strikes. So with the Americans in Yemen, got to be worried about the risks concerning the people that are over there. Here's another front, another war area against the terrorists that we're hoping to, what, stomp out, limit, whatever. And we're not even out of Afghanistan. Where are we headed next? We're not even fully extracted from the conflicts in Iraq, really, either. So Iraq, Afghanistan, we've moved on from Iraq, but still are invested. We're moving on from Afghanistan, but still are invested. And we have all these other problem areas in the Middle East, none bigger as far as terrorist threat than Yemen. When we look at all the possibilities, things that could have happened here in the United States recently, thwarting bombers, there is the connection to that area. So it's a dangerous development, but it's nothing new. The massacre is, sadly, the bomber and the target that he chose, awful, terrible timing. But ultimately, what is the goal of the people here is to topple that government and to get the U.S. assistance out of the way. So this is the next play. This is the most high-profile area going, especially when it comes to bombers. And on the heels of that and talk of war and the expense of war, our U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan, Ryan Crocker, who was through the Bush administration, now part of the Obama administration, is supposedly going to step down in the summer. That leaves an opening. Anybody want to be the ambassador to Afghanistan? Woo-hoo. Wonder what the fringe benefits of that are, especially with the troops pulling out in 2014, all the NATO partners shedding themselves like a snake's skin, the latest France. We know that Canada already opted out of Afghanistan, and we're footing the bill for what's left, meaning up to maybe $6 billion a year to train the troops correctly and the police forces in Afghanistan and help in other ways, because that was the way to quell the president, Hamid Karzai, with all the concerns, with the things that have happened since the beginning of the year, the Quran mishaps, the burning of those Qurans, the soldier who had a head injury and left the base and slaughtered all those people, sadly, in the two villages nearby, and then some of the drone attacks that have had collateral damage and a few other things, too. So it was a rough start to the year. And we were willing to pay the freight. Now what happens with Pakistan? Why is Pakistan important, you say, if you're listening to me from whatever nook and cranny you hail from, and you say to yourself, thank goodness I live in these United States. The thing that we have to be concerned about with Pakistan is not only what's going on there, but the fact that we need the roads from Pakistan to get in, one particular route, to get in to Afghanistan, to get the supplies in, to bring the trucks through. And we were paying about $500 a truck to do that. Now, since that route has been closed and the supply trucks have had to take a northern route, they get attacked. It's much harder to do that. It's much more expensive in a sense. Now, they want stick-up money. Pakistan wants $25,000, somewhere around $25,000, to be able to take our trucks through. Would you pay that $25,000? This is becoming very expensive, isn't it? Think about where we're going in the future, how much we're going to pay every single year to help the Afghanistan government, coupled with what we have to do to pay for the trucks just to reach our bases, our soldiers, and get them the stuff that they need. I think everybody's holding us up, and we're the suckers caught in the middle of this. I don't get it. This should have been done with a long time ago. All right, you may see it through different eyes. 855-266-KATE. 855-266-KATE. Also coming up this hour, in fact, in our next segment, as we move along through what's going on in Afghanistan to what's happening here in the United States, just how far would you go to keep your job? I mean, what are you willing to do to keep the boss happy? Especially when you hear about, you know, there's always the friend who's negative and is having trouble finding jobs and it's awful out there and the sky is falling on their head. And then you look at your circle of people and think, oh, I don't want to be in that situation. So if you feel cornered, then that's that whole fear thing. And it means you're probably willing to do more to keep your job. But I want you to think about that for a second. And I'm going to tell you why in our next segment. But how far are you willing to go to keep your job? What would you do to keep the boss happy and not, theoretically, not lose your job? Or at least you don't think you're going to lose your job. Let's put it that way. Also, we have a couple of court things that we're going to talk about. You can be the judge and the jury in the court of public opinion. Was the decision right for the ex-Rutgers student who got 30 days for bullying a gay roommate? Will the decision be right for John Edwards? Do you think he's going to fall this week? Or do you think he gets a pass and he walks out of the courtroom? Virtue of the way, by virtue of the way I said that, I think you know where I stand. 855-266-KATE. We're spinning the tunes. We got more coming up next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
I like to see you look right across the floor. I like to do the thing, see you call for more. I like to reggae, but you dance too fast for me. I like to make my friends.
Alright, anybody know the mystery surrounding the pot that was pulled from the ocean off the California coastline? Yeah, is this crazy? I started to let my mind run wild, and I'm thinking, let it float in, somebody else grabs it. We're talking about street value of almost $4 million floating off of Dana Point, California, which
you
wanna
get high?
Very close to Santa Barbara. I used to go up and down that coastline. I swear I wasn't looking for pot in the water. But boats from the Border Patrol, the Coast Guard, and the sheriff's office recovered, check this out, 160 bales of marijuana. 160, just floating. So I'm thinking something had to happen here. There were no suspected drug boats anywhere, but they were trying to get them in. And usually they dump the bales to get rid of the weight if they're being chased. Because, of course, they don't want to get nabbed with the pot. But there was nothing in sight. There was nobody in sight. They were underwater. They were frogmen waiting so they could grab the pot. I don't know. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of pot. So somebody's wallet's lighter. Somebody might be in trouble over this. I know there is a twisted story, but I just can't figure out what the twist is. Were there people waiting on the other side and somehow they didn't look at the tide correctly, or they just, usually they're floating because they're trying to get away, but since there's no boat there, there has to be an answer to the riddle. If that's your pot, please call 855-266-KATE, and we'll just break this story right here on the air live. That's the beautiful thing about America Tonight, that we can do that. Some boss somewhere is going to be very upset about that drug money that now is kaput. Speaking of bosses, I mentioned this. How far would you go to keep your job? How far would you go to make your boss happy? What are you willing to do? You know, that whole thing about you have to play along, get along, that kind of deal, and you can't always be the sour apple, even if you really don't like the boss, and every once in a while, you got to give a little to get a little. I mean, there's a million cliches, right? So This is one of the craziest stories that I've ever heard. Debbie Stevens, 47-year-old, donates her kidney to her boss, Jackie Brucia, who's 61. They weren't an exact match, but Stevens donated a kidney to someone else in the same pool. So that pushes Brucia in a better position for an organ. She donates her kidney last August, then says that she was under pressure to return to work less than a month later. This is where it gets dicey. So, after supposedly demeaning treatment and a demotion, she was fired. What does she turn around and do? She files a complaint with the State Human Rights Commission. Giving, I think, a piece of your body to somebody is incredibly emotional. Not to mention probably a little bit risky no matter what they say. I mean, an organ donation place would flip out hearing me say that, but how do you know? It's not 100%. Okay, boom, I'm just going to take this, suck this kidney away. You're not going to need it, and you're going to be fine and healthy, and it's all great and all that other stuff. No, there's never 100% guarantee, and I still think it's great when people donate organs, and I'm for organ donation. I'm not against organ donation, but that was pretty big what she did. So then all these other stories come out about other people, and this was in the New York Post, I think I read about it a couple of days ago. A couple of years ago, a doctor convinced his wife cheated on him, demanded she either return the kidney he donated to her or pay him $1.5 million in the couple's divorce settlement, and they rejected his demands, so he has to go away as an angry, bitter person. And then there was the sad story of Ryan Arnold, who was pretty healthy, very healthy, in fact, when he gave a live liver donation to his brother, which is a sweet, amazing thing. He gives his brother, Chad, the liver donation, but then dies from complications. So can you imagine how the brother feels? I don't think the brother should feel guilty. His brother obviously wanted to do it. He wanted to do it, so he did it. But I think that there's something here about donating an organ to your boss. If you donate an organ to your boss, does that mean you get a blank pass on everything? Does that mean you have instant job security? I can't believe, I cannot believe that she was fired after doing that. I would say if you're the boss and somebody donates an organ, yeah, they're pretty much on the payroll. It's like a union job. You're going to have a tough time moving them, no matter what they do, if they donate an organ. But they apparently didn't care. They were willing to toss her out. They didn't have a problem with it. And, what's going to happen in this lawsuit? What's going to happen? You got 113,000 plus people waiting for organs. 18 people die a day waiting. And there are all these restrictions on who can donate organs to who. So it's tough. And where are the boundaries in this thing? And as I said, how far would you go? I mean, there's the question. How far would you go to keep your job? How far would you go? Send me an email, americatonight.net, americatonight.net, or shoot me a call at 855-266-KATE. 855-266-KATE. The one who comes up in the next couple of days, the one who comes up with the craziest thing they've ever done to keep their job, wins a copy of the book, Level the Playing Field, because you definitely tried to level the playing field. That's a book that I wrote. Balls, Brats, and Other BS, really from the land of sports. But I guess it is kind of like a jostling match when you're in the workplace environment, what you're willing to do and how far how far will you go? I think the organ thing, no way. I think unless everybody at the office is doing it, you know that it doesn't guarantee that you're going to be ultimately secure, I guess, forever. I mean, even though I think that you should be secure, once you do that, that's just so far over the top. I don't see how you can't just be kind of grandfathered in. We're moving them when the furniture moves. No matter what, you got to give him a job. It's like Office Space. Remember the guy who thought he had a job and he was kind of moved all over the place? Love that movie. If you haven't seen it, rent it. So it's kind of like that. You're there no matter what, no matter whatever you're doing, you're there. You're part of it now because you put more than you've really put your blood, sweat, and tears into the job. So the woman in New York certainly has an axe to grind, feels bitter, and now feeling as though she was just pressed to get back to work may have, I don't know, may have a leg to stand on. Depends on what the Human Rights Commission says, and they may side with the woman who owns the business and say that that's part of the deal, that, you know, what's the law on that? Can a boss ask an employee for an organ? Hey, you're pretty healthy. You want to donate an organ? Donate an organ, then you'll still have your job. It seems that there might be something more going on there. But forget that, the whole job security thing. I had a boss one time that wanted me to ride on a roller coaster continuously for almost 24 hours, thought it'd be a great radio stunt. I said no, but I didn't lose my job. Are you kidding? I can't even stand roller coasters now. There was a time when I would definitely ride them, but the way the coasters are, how fast they go, and the G-forces that are thrust upon you, 24 hours of that, oh, I feel like I had a concussion. That was my reason for not wanting to do it. They thought it'd be just great that so many people would be tuned in to see how long I lasted and we'd raise all kinds of money for charity. I don't think so. I think that's a promotion that would have blown up in all of our faces. Hang with us.
Things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When the next disaster hits and the mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, you and your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. Easy as 123 to remember. 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video we've set up for patriots only at 123survivalplan.com. Get inside information on the 37 food items that will sell out first when the next disaster strikes. This video contains crucial information you and your family need to prepare for any natural or man-made disaster. In the last 6 months, over 1 million other smart patriots have already seen this video. Prepare now. Go to 123survivalplan.com and learn which 37 food items you should hoard. Easy to remember, 123survivalplan.com. Again, that's 123survivalplan.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Attention, mindless criminals, thugs, and thieves. Go ahead, break a leg. American homeowners are fed up with your door kick-ins and forced entries. We now dare you to try your brute against any door reinforced with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel pack includes a steel door jam plate with 3.5-inch screws, a lock shield, and hinge shields. The Door Sentinel installs in minutes, securing any front, side, or back doors, even French doors. Criminals, be forewarned, your lake will break before the Door Sentinel will budge. Even if you have an alarm system, back it up with the Door Sentinel. Basic products starting under $20. Order your Door Sentinel today for your home, garage, or any building you own or rent at MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com or call 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Get your peace of mind back with Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel. Always on guard.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Leaving Afghanistan, we're there, we're digging in. 2014 is when we leave, and any talk of leaving prematurely just doesn't float, doesn't work. We see Ryan Crocker is expected to hand in his resignation and be gone in the next couple of months at the latest, be gone by the summer. There's all kinds of things starting to unravel here while this NATO summit is going on in Chicago. What's interesting when we talk about how will history see Afghanistan, and I started off mentioning Afghanistan and Yemen, how we had the suicide bomber and 100 Yemeni folks were killed instantly, pretty much when that suicide bomber decided to end their lives in for the seven virgins and Allah and whatever he was screaming in the street. Now, at this anti-NATO rally that was held during the day, you think of, well, who's there? Who are the people that are at the rally? You had 50 military vets that were in Chicago, rather. They threw their medals into the street, and they did this over the weekend. They say it symbolized their rejection of the U.S.-led wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Some of the veterans were wearing military uniform shirts over black anti-war t-shirts, and they were choking back all kinds of emotions. You could see it on camera. It's all over the place. If you Google it, you'll be able to see actually some of the photos. And they were explaining why they did that. Why would they want to do it? Somebody was folding a flag. Somebody was playing taps. You know, that's what you do at military funerals. I was just at a military funeral last week. They played taps, gave the flag to the widow, said the words that you always say, a grateful president for the service to the country and whatnot. So the medals, they say, that were supposed to be for acts of heroism, that they didn't feel like heroes, they didn't deserve them, so they were throwing them in the street. And there were different examples of people from, the people who served from where they were from, enlisted in the army because they didn't feel like there was options and they couldn't stay in college. And one of the guys said that he witnessed civilian casualties and civilians being arrested, and he thought it was an illegal occupation and whatnot. And you know, went on to say they was glad that we had withdrawn troops from Iraq, but what about this NATO military alliance, and were they going to leave Afghanistan? Because remember, on Sunday, the NATO Secretary General opened the two-day summit saying there would be no hasty exit from Afghanistan, which is exactly what our president said as well. And you had a veteran from Milwaukee, you had a veteran from New York, you had a veteran from Vermont, you had a veteran from, you know, all over the place, pretty much, as I said, 50 veterans. And they were hoping to present their medals to someone from NATO, but the closest they could get was the fence from the convention center about a block from where Obama and others were meeting. So they threw the medals toward the convention center. Boy, sad. You can only imagine. They were saying, some of them, that they suffered from post-traumatic stress syndrome, depression, and were stunned by what they saw in Afghanistan, which is my point exactly. You have the president saying, leave on time. There is no perfect end to Afghanistan. And, you know, to me, how many more sacrifices are we making in that nation and all the money that we're pumping into it? So we keep fighting and dying there for a couple more years. And the president says, this is all done. This is, you know, perfect. Are they going to be able to say that? And the answer is no, they're not going to be able to say that. It's interesting, the number significance, because you've got 50 nation war coalition summit basically in the Windy City, and you had the 50 medals kind of symbolizing a similar thing. But Afghan forces are going to take over the lead of the mission by the middle of 2013. That's a big moment. That's a big transition thing, and the U.S. will have the backup role for whatever that's worth. But I think that there's going to be certainly a vacuum in that region, and we're going to have all these tax dollars that are going toward the soldiers and the combat there. We cut a deal with Afghanistan, and the deal includes military trainers from the U.S. and special forces stay there after the war closes down. I say thumbs down to that, and I understand the soldiers' frustrations. It would have been so much smarter to just have left after Osama bin Laden. But I want to keep beating the same point home over and over and over again. The timetable's there. They established it. That's it. I mean, are there risks involved in it? Are there lives that are going to be lost? Sadly, I think so. I think it's dicey and risky for the people that are being deployed again and again and again. You cannot win this one. You cannot win it. So they're talking about the Taliban and talking about the Taliban being involved in all of this. And I would say that the whole Sun Tzu thing about keeping your enemies close, your friends even closer. What are the Taliban to the people in Afghanistan? So imagine this methodical end, the winding down of the war after getting finished with the one in Iraq. And you think of the economic woes we're having here at home and this constant money that's being dumped into the Middle East, whether it's Iraq, Afghanistan, or who knows what's next. And even though we have a coalition, supposedly, with NATO, the United States boots on the ground are the most by far. The U.S. has 90,000. You tell me. The U.S. has 90,000 of the 130,000 foreign forces in the war. So it's going to shrink to 68,000, and the pace is going to keep up. And then eventually, you know, what's it going to cost us annually? And the answer is $5 to $6 billion to help. You had the French president, Francois Hollande, that said the U.S. had requested a little less than $200 million, but they were non-committal. And France said they're not bound by what Germany or other countries might do. In other words, au revoir. We're not going to help you, U.S. You are on your own. Good luck with that war. Let us know what happens when you're through. Let us know what happens. So you start to add up, even though it's, maybe it's a small amount compared to other wars, but it's still lives that didn't need to be, I'm sorry, it didn't need to be lost by doing, you know, the same thing, just continuing to go down that road. We should have pulled them out a long time ago before the casualties started to tick up. Should have been done a long time ago. In fact, in 08, when Obama was running, that's 08, we're in 12, he said, we must bring our troops back home immediately. And if elected, I'll see to it that this is accomplished. Well, yes, they're coming back, but okay, not 08, not 09, not 10, not 11. The time to do it would have been after bin Laden didn't happen, and we keep moving the time. Keep moving the time of when we're actually leaving. Supposedly, by 2013, we would have, at one time, we would have had almost everybody out. So 2014. And it's a big chunk, by the way, of what they were talking about in NATO, no doubt, in the NATO summit, is the process and what's happening and what the role is going to be and all of that. I mean, that was mainly the focus in the Windy City. And they still have tensions with Pakistan. They haven't agreed to end the closure of the routes into Afghanistan. They say it's retaliation for American airstrikes from the drones that killed 24 Pakistani soldiers months and months ago. And it's like a pall hanging over the summit, hanging in the balance. All right, coming up in our next segment, speaking of numbers, we have another We Can Count. And boy, do we have some interesting ones for you. I always say that you could trace it back to numbers of any sort. Follow the money, look at the numbers of people, all that kind of thing. Look at how many books have been sold. Look at how many CDs have been sold. So we're going to hit the number. We're going to hit the numbers next, including talking about, sadly, what now has what now is wrapped up, but the ex-Rutgers student, as I mentioned, he gets his sentence in the spy cam case. Was pretty curious what the judge said. That's going to lead us off. That's coming up next here on America Tonight.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain. Not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkyd.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection, guaranteed or your money back.
Ever headed down the final stretch? If you want to throw in your two, you got to do it now or forever hold your peace for this hour anyway. 855-266-KATE. 855-266-KATE. Let's go to Dale listening to us in Missouri. Hey, Dale, how are you?
I'm fine, Kate. Thanks for taking my call.
Up, we hear you echoing in the background. You have to turn down your radio. Can you turn down your radio?
I got it.
Ah, good man. Excellent. Are you asking about Triple Crown winners?
Oh, I am. I'm excited about this horse that nobody thought could do anything.
I'll have another.
I'll have another. That's right.
I love it. I do. I are we going to see 78 was the last time we saw a Triple Crown winner that was affirmed so long ago. And there have been others that have come close. But this horse that won the Santa Anita Derby, that's 3 for 3, really, it's a bigger distance. But I don't know. There's something special about this horse. And after just beating out Bodemeister, I'll have another chance.
Oh, yeah, he's really doing a great job. And the jockey's really, I like the jockey.
Right, but you like the jockey, too, because the story's so great since he was an unknown kid.
The horse and him both are just like nobody's coming to the picture and they just taken over.
I know. And you know the best part of this whole thing is, too, you think about it, you know, like Steve Coffin was the guy who had the mount on Affirmed, and he was a pretty well-known jockey when he was young. So now you have another younger guy on this horse, not known, gets the chance, gets the reins of the horse. You have a horse that breaks from the 19th gate at the Kentucky Derby and comes in. I love it. It's about time. You know what? Horse racing needs some excitement because horse racing is really falling on hard times. So I think it's perfect timing to see this happen.
Yeah, I kind of think it. I don't know what his odds are now. They're bound to be getting better. But
oh yeah, it's gonna be crazy odds because it's too the morning line. It's too early for that, but it's like they're probably I don't know, maybe 5 to 2 odds, something like that. But that'll even shrink even more. It's gonna be It's going to be a tiny, tiny number. I hope so. I hope that happens.
I think he's going to win it.
I do, too.
Yeah, I think he's going to be able to do it. I don't know. But I'm excited about it to see a horse like this. The horse wasn't worth any money, and the jockey never rode a big race, and just.
Yeah, I'm excited. Dale, we lost you, buddy. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. You slipped off there, but I agree with you. I'm excited about it. And this is a good reminder. He set us up for this. We will do one of our trifecta challenges, our last one, because we did it for the Kentucky Derby. We did it for the Preakness. And now we've got the Belmont coming on. And if you win, you would clean out our prize closet. You know, what's interesting about this horse, since Dale opened the gate for this, is that I'll have another, was won the Santa Anita Derby by basically a nose. Then the horse gets picked up for $35,000, wins the Derby by 1.5 lengths with a stretch run that was unreal that caught Bodemeister in the final, like, 100 yards. And then you have this dramatic finish in the Preakness. We're talking about just a few strides difference where I'll have another wins by a neck. And now this is the grueling 1.5-mile Belmont that we're talking about, the longest of the Triple Crown races. In fact, what they call it is the Test of Champions. And I'm sure it's on NBC, so you'll hear that phrase. It's the Test of Champions, and they'll do the whole build-up as to whether or not there's going to be a Triple Crown winner. And there's certainly pressure there. But after winning, I mean, the payday for those people is incredible for a $35,000 investment. But they're horse racing type, so they've probably dumped a bunch of money into horses before. But the key thing here is can I'll have another go that distance? Can this horse close the deal and finally win that elusive Triple Crown? It's the 12th triple try since 78, and it is the most elusive prize in racing. Absolutely. It's the toughest thing now that's happened all those years ago affirmed. You know, what are we? 34 years is what we're talking about, and there were some that came close. Smarty Jones just lost barely in the final 70 yards, barely, and was beaten by a 36-1 shot. So you still have to be able to face down the rivals, and with horses, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You can't count on it. All right, speaking of never knowing what's going to happen, I want to jump to the courtroom for a second because I promised I'd give you the payoff here. Daron Ravi, who was the kid who set up the spy cam, the webcam, whatever, to capture his roommate's gay relationship, and then we know the sad story of Tyler Clementi jumping off the bridge, was sentenced. This was a hate crime thing. This is what he was being tried on. That was one of the possibilities. So he gets 30 days in jail, and he also is sentenced to do 300 hours of community service and has to pay $10,000 to assist bias crime victims. A lot of you sent in emails about that. So without further ado, we're going to go and check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, yes. Thank you very much. This one's from Tank. Tank says, Ms. Delaney, did you see the story about the Rutgers University student? I know you were talking about it. In fact, I think you had maybe a family member on who gave us a legal point of view on the idea of hate crime. Now, what do you think? It's interesting. It was my brother, who's an attorney, who said that this would be so precedent-setting if they went down that road. They're calling it bullying, and this is a whole cyberbullying thing that's now been opened up here. And courts have ruled differently in a lot of other cases over the use of the Internet and social media, et cetera, to pick on people, if you will, because now it's just like it's such a big part of our lives. In this case, it was the webcam deal that I just described happened back in the fall of 2010, so a couple of years ago. And there's a big spotlight on this. Without a doubt, because of Clementi committing suicide. Otherwise, would Ravi have faced all those criminal counts? But he was found guilty of 15 criminal counts, including invasion of privacy. bias intimidation and obstructing justice after police began investigating. So he gets, I think, a pretty light sentence. Pretty light sentence. But here's the thing: how do you legally, when you're talking about picking on someone, going after somebody, how do you know the reaction? He certainly didn't know that Tyler Clementi was going to do that. He didn't know he was going to jump off a bridge. He didn't know he was going to kill himself. So if you look at it strictly from a legal perspective, they weren't going to throw the book at him. They were not going to throw the book at him. And they decided not to deport him, too, because that was part of the question. He could have been deported. He has an Indian citizenship, even though he's lived most of his life in the United States. All right, here's another one from Donna, who says, boo on that decision with that fool from Rutgers. He should have gotten much more than 30 days. I don't understand our legal system whatsoever. All right, you heard what I had to say about it, and awful for his parents, no question about that. Got another one here. This is from Joplin. I like that name, just Joplin. Joplin says, I've been listening to America Tonight now for 2 years. I think it's interesting, the things that you talk about on the show. I particularly like it when you beat up on politicians. Really have no use for either Democrats or Republicans. I used to be a Republican, but I honestly say I'm more of an independent now. I don't really want much of a label. I don't care for much of the either parties. How long do you think it'll take, Kate, before we get a third party? Yeah, that's a question that I ask myself all the time. We need a serious third party, not just a possible third party. Another party made up of people who are open-minded to try to solve problems that we have, to actually be held accountable. I mean, maybe that's what it is. The politicians don't have any accountability. If their pay was tied to the results, maybe that would be a little bit different. Send me your thoughts, AmericaTonight.net.